Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
And welcome to a new edition of the Career Vision Podcast. And for those of you that are new to our podcast, we talk to professionals about where they got started, where they are now, and everything in between. And today's episode is a little bit different, as we are having it at our sponsor's office here, the Career Vision office on Main Street in Glen Ellen. And so I'm actually being joined by Jennifer Gendris, who is a occupational safety and health manager at General Services Administration. I'm sorry, that was a lot that I just said there. Jennifer, thanks for coming on. And as we do with every episode, we start with a shout out to your high school. So let's start there.
All right. I attended Resurrection High School in Chicago, all girls.
All girls. So what were you like in high school?
I was probably more of what you would call someone who was very unrecognizable. I did a lot. I was a follower. I kind of stayed behind the scenes. I did a little bit of sports, but I just didn't really have a good sense of who I was or what I wanted to do. So I kind of just followed along in the crowd.
So what sports did you play and things that you were involved with?
I did track and I did gymnastics.
What did you kind of think? If someone asked you back then, like the interview question of where do you see yourself or what do you want to do? What do you think your answer was back then?
You know, I remember actually wanted to be a TV news reporter because it looked cool. But I had no idea really even how to get into that field. I was a candy striper there was a Resurrection Hospital across the street. So I did that on a volunteer basis. And I like math and science, so that kind of pushed me into the direction of the healthcare field. But that eventually changed once I got to college.
And college, you went to Illinois State University?
I did. So I actually started off at Loyola University. You know, back when I was, I'm very well seasoned in my career. So back when I started, you know, it was just kind of understood by my parents that I would be going to college. I had no idea what, I thought it was just like an extension of high school. You go and you take more classes and you get this degree and I don't know, a job appears. The only careers I really were familiar with when I was in high school probably were teaching and nursing. That's what the majority of women that I saw working tended to do. And my mom had been a teacher and she's like, don't be a teacher. So then I'm like, well, looks like I'm going to be a nurse. So that's actually what I went to college for initially at Loyola. I was a nursing student. And that went along fine. I really enjoyed the classes and I loved science. So I loved what I was learning until after the end of freshman year when we had talked about doing clinicals next year. And then I realized they talked about these procedures I was going to be performing on people. And I was not prepared for performing those tasks on people. I'm not really, you know, maybe I just was very naive and I thought, oh, nurses, they're checking the blood pressure, maybe drawing a little blood, listening to your heart. But obviously there's well more involved in that. And you have to do different things in clinicals, even if that's not the type of nurse you're going to be. And I realized I didn't have the stomach for that.
I don't have the stomach for it, and I'm just listening to you talk about it, just thinking about that. So then what did bring you to Illinois State after that?
So obviously Loyola was a far more expensive school, and it was a very good nursing. They have a phenomenal nursing program. And since nursing wasn't going to be it for me, I said, you know, I need to take a step back and go to a less expensive school. So I ended up going to a state school that had a lot of choices in the degrees. I kind of fell back on chemistry. I thought maybe a pharmacist might have been a good area for me to pursue. And I got my pharmacy technician license and I was working in a pharmacy. But in order to get a degree in pharmacy, the schools I would have had to have gone to, a lot of out-of-state schools and private schools, my parents didn't have any money. And the thought of taking out those the loans, and now at that time, they were not even half as bad as now. I just didn't want, I couldn't imagine having that kind of debt, because, you know, my parents always frowned upon a lot of debt. So I'm like, well, I guess it's not going to be pharmacy. I have to find a degree at Illinois State. So I started to ask every student I met at a party, what's your major? Yeah. What does it involve? Until, you know, and I would look through the college catalog, and I'd kind of look at, okay, well, what classes have I already taken, and what would apply to certain majors, because I needed to get out of there before, like, 5 years, because I was already going to have to do a fifth year, because yeah. I changed my major. And I met this guy at a party, and he said, well, my degree is environmental health and safety. And I said, environmental health and safety? I said, what do they do? He goes, 100% job placement. I said, what? He goes, it's 100% job placement. And coming from a poor background and knowing my parents would have killed me if I left college and not had a job, I'm like, 100% job placement? That's all I needed to hear. And that was how I selected my degree. I looked at the classes, and there's a lot of science classes. You know, mm-hmm. you need the microbiology, toxicology, epidemiology. You have industrial hygiene, you know, air monitoring, water sampling. So it was all science, very heavily science-based, yeah. which I appreciated. And it ended up being the luckiest, best move I had ever made in my life, because my occupation, I love talking about it, and I'm still very excited about it, turned out to be the best decision I probably have ever made in my life.
I love the idea that you were basically networking at parties in college before networking's really a thing, right? And that kind of helped you figure out your path in that way.
You know, you do have to ask around, and you do, and it's very important to get involved in groups and get certifications, even if you think that, you know, maybe they're not going to be that useful, because you never know when it can turn out that, you know, it may be just a little bit, give you a little bit of advantage over mm-hmm. somebody else. So I did, when I was in school, I joined the different clubs for my degree. I became an officer in these clubs. And this was very unlike anything that I did in high school. I really almost reinvented myself. You can reinvent yourself in college, which is phenomenal, because whatever people designate you in high school, you kind of feel like you're in that yes. box, yes. and you feel you can't get out of it because everyone knows you and they judge you. But in college, nobody knows you. So you can reinvent yourself to whoever you want, and it's a very easy time for you to break out of your shell
yeah.
and reinvent yourself and do bigger things than maybe you could do in high school because you felt other people were judging you. And in college, there's far less judgment, and everybody's doing that same thing. They're all trying to get ahead, and nobody's looking at you in a negative way.
I love that. You kind of beat me to it, because early on you made it sound like you were kind of shy, you're following people, you know, you're kind of going along with things. And then the reinventing yourself and growing in college, I'll tell you, I wanted to be in radio since high school, but I was so shy. So getting into radio as a shy person, kind of weird, but broke into it. So then you're working through your major, and now what was next? What was the first job out of college?
Well, so my degree, they did emphasize internships. So I had done internships for 3 years while I was in college. I worked at the Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago, which is the largest sewage treatment facility in the world, actually. So I had, a great foundation. And in our major, everyone had internships. So it wasn't just me. They would place you. And that's where everybody got their start. And I think that's why, maybe at the time, I know internships are very big now, but back when I was in college, they weren't as mandatory as they are now. And a lot of them were unpaid, so people couldn't do them because, you know, you need to work and make money. But ours did pay, and you know, so I got that internship, and then as soon as I graduated, I started sending my resume out, and I interviewed, and I had quite a few interviews, and I ended up working for, I graduated at the right time for my degree, because it was 1990 and the hazardous waste laws had just been passed, okay. The RCRA hazardous waste laws. So there were not a lot of degrees in that field, and there were not a lot of people with experience in that, wow. Because it was brand new. So I was hired at this company that was actually a hazardous waste recycler, and I didn't. You know, I remember being interviewed, and they were like, well, do you know about, you know, RCRA hazardous waste permits? I'm like, I think I had a sheet from, like, what I learned in college. And it said, oh, yeah, if you're going to operate a hazardous waste treatment plant, you need this permit. But that's as far as I knew. I didn't know what was involved, and they hired me because I kind of have to feel like maybe nobody else had a degree in that field, mm-hmm. and they were desperate because I really didn't have a background in that. And when they threw me in, they're like, okay, you're in charge of the Western Division hazardous waste permits for this organization.
That's what you want to hear. You're in charge right out of college.
You know, and I asked a lot of questions, and I was very stressed. There was a very hard learning curve. The first 6 months of my career, I think, may have been the hardest part of my career until I finally figured out what I was doing. But it was the best learning experience, and I learned so much that when I ended up leaving that company 6 years later, I was so well qualified for, you know, the next position that I went in, that I actually saw an ad back in the paper when they still had ads paper for an environmental specialist for the U.S. Postal Service. I guess the U.S. Postal Service at the time, you know, they had a lot of vehicles. They were servicing vehicles. They had a lot of underground tanks, paint sprayers, you know, to paint the vehicles. They did a lot of the work in-house, mm-hmm. as opposed to contracting it out like it was now. And they got a fine from the EPA. And as part of their settlement agreement, they had to hire environmental specialists at every district in the United States. And I applied, and I was one of 1,500 people.
Oh, my goodness.
To apply for that. I found out that after the fact. but I got the job. And since then, it's just, my career's just even exploded to be even better. You know, I worked for the Postal Service as an environmental specialist. I did a lot of environmental regulatory and then safety regulatory work in both organizations. And then after 15 years with the Postal Service, there was an opportunity at OSHA to be an OSHA compliance officer / instructor. And I thought that would have been a great fit for me because as my confidence grew, I did a lot of training and outreach in my own organization, and I thought, this could be a great fit for me to go out and, you know, walk a workroom floor and, you know, assess hazards and help people do their jobs, you know, in a more safe way, give them ideas. And, you know, I worked there for 6 years, and then I now at my third government agency, which is called General Services Administration. And we manage all the federal properties, all the federal-owned buildings, and we also have leased buildings for other federal agencies. So we make sure that those buildings are safe for the public, the tenants, and the workers in those buildings. And then we have a lot of construction projects going on, you know, whether it's a new agency coming in, mm-hmm. and they want us to turn around, an office to better suit their needs, or, you know, buildings age, obviously, and you have to, you know, upgrade the facilities. And so we do a lot of construction projects. And so I'll review the construction health and safety plans to make sure that the contractors coming on doing the work are doing the work safely. And, you know, so it doesn't endanger the people working there or those workers themselves.
I just learned so much in like 10 minutes right there. I want a couple follow-ups here. While I'm listening to you, you talk about your 10 years at these places, 6 years, 15 years, another 6 years. I mean, those are pretty good for our times now, where you see people are jumping to new jobs or they're losing their jobs after, a couple years. What do you kind of attribute those long tenures to?
Probably because my work has been in the federal government. Mm-hmm. Your jobs generally are more secure, and that's why people tend to go into federal mm-hmm. service, because, you know, maybe you sacrifice pay, but you do have that security. And as a woman who, you know, was married and I knew I was going to have a family, you know, just to not have a lot of, you know, have a little bit more flexibility in the maternity leave. There were, the government was a, you know, it's a great place to work for in terms of, you know, just not being as overbearing maybe as the private sector is in terms of work-life balance. I think the government was really first, you know, to really, you know, have that for employees. So I think that's why I've had a you know, greater longevity maybe in careers. Had I stayed in private service, probably would not be.
The work-life balance thing, that's really cool to hear when it comes to, you know, working in government, that they're at the forefront of that. Over time, how do you feel like you have grown in these positions at these places? And I can tell when you talk about that, that your priorities have changed during that time too.
Well, I would say I would have grown. Luckily, the organizations I worked for were very, very supportive in taking training classes. So, you know, whether it be external, going to a conference, they always were like, if you want to present at a safety or environmental conference, you know, we'll support you. So I've always done that, whether it be through my organization or just finding external courses myself. Like, you cannot stop learning in your field because things change. So I've always kept up with that. And I think that's how I season myself into becoming a better worker, and not just in topics in my field, but expanding myself to also do a lot of leadership courses. And the government was really good with that. And, you know, if you want to take a course and, you know, some leadership, you know, they will get you that class, or they offer these courses so you can just sign up as you go. They'll have them all the time because they want to bring people up from, you know, the lower echelons to the top. They want to move people up from within, and they've always done a really good job at that.
That's amazing to hear. So someone who is interested in what you do, what advice would you have for that person that's either getting started or someone who is doing something completely different but wants to make the pivot?
So I would say, first of all, if you are not into that field and you're still in school, look around for colleges that have degrees in occupational safety, construction safety, construction management, environmental health, or a combination of those. Sometimes they combine them. And there's not that many schools that offer these degrees. There's more than when I was out there. But they're still very narrow, which is why I think there's such a big demand. And you can't necessarily get rid of a position, like a safety position, even if an organization goes to having all robotics. You still have to have mechanics serve those robots, and you have to make sure the mechanics that service those robots are servicing them safely so they don't turn on while somebody's working on them. Because if that happens, you know, it can be disastrous. That the person could lose, you know, get pulled into, you know, point of operation, or somehow get, you know, the piece of equipment could pressurize and crush them. So you're always going to need a safety person. And you always have construction going on. So where there's construction, there's people doing the construction. And then you have the safety person that makes sure that they're doing that construction safely. So as far as I've always been, there's been an, you know, I look at jobs every now and then because you always want to see what's going on. And, you know, I'm also getting close to the end of my federal service where I could retire. And I'm like, well, what's the next phase? Do I still want to work? Because I actually still get calls from headhunters all the time asking me if I'm interested in heading up, you know, their safety program. So, and when I'm at this age, I'm just like, well, if they're still actually, I mean, they can see my experience on LinkedIn. So if they're reaching out to me still, there's plenty of jobs, and there are. So it's just a great field. So look in your college and make sure, see where they have this degree. And then see what classes you're required to have to get into those degrees. You know, can you handle them? You know, are they a class? You know, if it's going to require physics or chemistry, and you, if that's not your forte, maybe this isn't the career for you. But if you really want that career, you know, you can build up to being good in these classes. You just have to, you know, they're a lot of math based, and I know people are like, oh, I'm not a math person. But this degree doesn't require the hard calculus.
Yeah.
Some schools maybe require Calc 1, but still, mostly trig. You can end up getting it. So it's not intense math, and it's not intense science. You don't, you know, organic chem might be as far as you go. You don't get beyond that. So if you can get past those basic level classes, you can do it. And you just have to build up to it. You start lower. You take the, if this is something you really want to do and you're not good in chemistry, take the entry-level chemistry class. Mm-hmm. Start there. Then go into the college-level chemistry. There's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do. You can build into it. So, you know, just, and you, and certain schools, you go to a more rigorous school, the degree may be a little harder than at maybe a state school. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because I'll tell you what, the degree is the degree. Once you're in the working field, and especially if it's a degree that's desirable, it's not going to matter if yours is from Rutgers and the other person's from, you know, Illinois State. They're going to, you know, they're going to interview you and see what your background is.
And that's where they're going to be able to see what kind of person you are, right? So we're here at Career Vision, and you had three kids that have gone through the aptitude tests and the counseling. I guess what first brought you to Career Vision?
All right. Well, like when I was in college, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And people really only know of jobs that they see. You could, you know what a fireman does because you see him.
Yeah.
You know what a teacher does because you see them. But what does somebody in business do? What does a business person do? Well, they do a lot of different things. It's not, you can't say, oh, a business person only does accounting, or a business person only works with as a financial analyst. The gamut is huge.
Yes.
Even like you said, you're in communications. Well,
yeah.
A communications person, you can be a reporter. You can you know, be a journalist and write up reports for your company. You can give the messaging at your company. You can be the PR person. Yeah. It varies. And if they don't know someone in that field, they really don't really understand, well, what does this degree do?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they take the time. I hope they do, because I used to read a lot. We didn't have the internet. When we wanted to read something, there was nothing sucking us to read something out. So I would read through college catalogs.
Yeah.
And it would say, well, this is the degree. This is what these people do. These are the classes you need. And I think I flipped through. I think I learned a lot about degrees just from reading through college catalogs. And I don't know if a lot of kids take the time to do that, because there are so many majors. They seem to like a school. Oh, I want to go to this school. Right. I want to go to Indiana University. Well, guess what? Then you're only going to be looking at the degrees that Indiana University has.
Yes.
Maybe look at some other schools, maybe that you're not sure. See what they have. Because you'd be surprised now how many different degrees there are. We don't, you know, times have changed. And schools, some schools are keeping up with new fantastic sounding degrees. So really look at those college catalogs.
I remember when I started Augustana College, went to DePaul, and at the time I was taking classes where social media was called new media at the time. And I think my first job out of college was new media. And then, you know, years later, I'm doing social media for NBC Sports. Well, they weren't really teaching it in college. Now it is a thing. But when your kids are coming here to take those aptitude tests and learn more about themselves, what were some of the things that, because I think you probably sat in on those as well, right? What was that like from a firsthand experience?
Well, the thing that I learned that really surprised me was I always thought that these were results that, like, what you liked.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't only what you like, because their premise is a person will be most successful not only with what, you know, it's a little bit what they like. As obviously, if you don't want to be a veterinarian, you don't like animals, probably not a good direction for you. But it's a little bit what you like, but it's a lot more about what are you good at?
Yes.
Because if you're good at something, what do? You do it well, and then you feel good. And then you feel even more comfortable. And I think in somewhat, when I look at myself, I think, well, that's kind of like why I like my job so much, because I've been in the trenches and now I'm so good at it. Mm-hmm. It gives me this level of confidence and I want to do better. So I think that really does help kids in, if they see these are the careers I'm most likely to be successful at because I'm good at that. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty helpful for them because, you know, jobs aren't necessarily the first job you have or what you think you're going to be doing isn't necessarily always what you're going to be doing. It transforms. And like you said, you learn about doing something on the job. And sometimes you land a job, like even in business, like you might go work, you know, for a company that makes clothes. And all of a sudden now you're like a buyer and a clothing expert.
Yeah.
Because you learned what the company did. So now your career might not be so much business, but it might be more of a retail type career. And that's not really where you started because you do learn things as you go along. So I do think that by getting these tests done, that it gives your kids, because it's not just one. They don't just name a few. Yeah. They give you a good like 20 to look at and think about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, where your kids can look and be like, oh, it says I'm going to be good at marketing, but I don't really like that, you know, what they're doing. So you've got things to pick from. But again, you know, sometimes you have to try also what they say. So you know what? If you got a gen ed class that you need to take in college and, you know, it said you might be good at that, maybe, you know, from the results, maybe it's good for you to try that as your gen ed because you never know.
You never know. I actually took the test and then I did the counseling afterwards. And Peg Hendershot was her name, who had, she sat me down and said, you have an hour and a half. Because they aren't just giving you the results. They have this crazy analysis they did with that. And they tell you not just this is what you are interested in, but why you're interested in that. And I honestly, the way she was breaking it down, it felt like therapy while I was doing it. It was really good. Do you remember what your kids' reactions were when they were getting that feedback from who did you work with too?
I don't remember who I worked with. My kids are now, my older ones are 26.
Yeah.
And I believe I put my kids, I had them do that while they were juniors because I felt the sooner the better, the sooner they had this information, the better.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this, they have all saved their career visions analysis in that binder. And they'll look back on it and they were actually kind of like, oh, I did end up liking what they said. But initially, did they take it to heart? I don't know, because kids, I think when they're seniors in high school, they're a little bit stubborn and they're going to do what they want to do.
Yes.
So, and, you know, as a parent, you know, I was like, well, you know, if this is your passion, I don't want to stop you. You know, as long as they maybe didn't pick something I felt like would really be difficult. But, you know, if they pick some major and I thought it was not a real good one, I don't know. I might have had a hard time telling them no if that was really their passion. It's, you know, you don't want to be too much stand in the way. But they did stick along the lines of what was in that. And I know my youngest had a lot of math and business choices, and she is going that way. And she still doesn't really understand after her freshman year, what am I going to be doing in business yet? She's business undecided. She doesn't know because she hasn't even taken accounting yet. That's her sophomore year. She's taken some econ, intro to business classes, but you don't really get into the meat, unfortunately, in college of what's in your degree until you're already picked it and you're already well entrenched in it. So that's why you hope you don't pick wrong. So, you know, I think that at least she's going down those lines of what she's going to be good at. And she's doing well. Her GPA is way up there. So I'd say that, you know, she's probably focusing on something she's good at.
As you mentioned before, internships are the other thing that really help you figure out, one, that on the job experience, but in like, hey, am I cut out for this or what goes into it? So that's the other part. I know that's part of what they recommend too here. And people can learn a lot more if they go to careervision.org or they go to WGNRadio.com where we have a ton of articles and more of our interviews that we've done on the Career Vision podcast. But just to close out, anything else that you think that someone that is listening to this, you know, you'd like to share as advice?
I would say, if you haven't gone to school yet, look at different colleges and look at the majors and look at the requirements and go back and look at the courses that you're going to need to be taking and decide, are these courses that interest you? Are these courses you feel you can handle? Because you don't want to overdo it. If you're not going to be able to pass Calc 3, maybe engineering's not for you. But maybe there's a different kind of engineering that doesn't require all that, like construction management. You got to look at all the different degrees and then, you know, look at the classes. And if you narrow down some you like, try to find people in those fields. And LinkedIn, I got to say, is probably a good place for you to go to find people in those degrees. I've had people reach out to me, you know, like, hey, I've noticed you've done this. I'm a senior in college and I'm going to be graduating soon. Can you give me some advice? You know, I think for the most part, most adults are very happy to mentor or at least talk for 30 minutes, an hour to some child that's interested in something, and you tell them what you're doing because they really don't know. And don't feel scared to reach out to older people. I think most of them do want to help.
That's a really good point. And those people that you're reaching out to have been in your shoes before.
Yes.
Maybe we didn't have LinkedIn when we were first looking for jobs and stuff like that, but just taking the time to talk to somebody in that field, even if it's like, hey, let's make a list. I want to call 3 different people this week that may have something for me. Maybe it doesn't work out, but that's great advice. So, Jennifer, thank you very, very much for doing this podcast. This was a lot of fun. I learned a lot, so I really appreciate that. And for our listeners and for Career Vision, thank you very much, and we'll catch you next time.